Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Compliance Week News podcast. I'm Matt Kelly, editor of Compliance Week, and today we are going to talk about human rights litigation, specifically how plaintiffs are trying to sue corporations under the Alien Torts Claim Act of 1789, which lets people file claims in U.S. courts against companies for human rights abuses that have happened overseas. A trial of precisely this sort is pending in New York right now, where plaintiffs from Nigeria are suing Royal Dutch Shell for allowing abuses that led to the execution of Ken Saro-Wiwa in 1995. He was a human rights activist in Nigeria. In this case, if it does come to trial, and they are in pre-talks at the moment, but if it does come to trial, it will be one of the first in U.S. courts where a corporation is being sued for crimes against humanity. Joining us to talk about the case is Jonathan Drimmer. He is a partner at the law firm of Steptoe & Johnson, who specializes in the extraterritorial application of U.S. laws like what we are seeing here. So, Jonathan, thank you for taking the time today.
Thank you for having me.
And I guess the first question here is if you could draw out for us the legal theory behind charging a company with crimes against humanity like this, as we're seeing in the WeWa case. What is the fact pattern here that is leading the plaintiffs to contend Royal Dutch has some liability?
Well, the fact pattern here is fairly similar in a number of respects to those that we've seen over the last 10, 15 years against multinational companies in these types of cases. And that is, in its most general sense, a government security force or other government entity committed certain acts against the plaintiffs or the decedent, in this case, Ken WeWa. The allegation is that the company was ultimately responsible for the human rights violations that occurred. And we've seen this come up in a number of different contexts. There was a case against Chevron last year, also out of Nigeria, and again, with allegations involving the Nigerian security forces. There was a trial a couple of years ago, about 18 months, 2 years ago, against the mining company Drummond based on their activities in Colombia, paramilitary units targeting labor leaders. And so we see this fairly frequently in terms of these cases, government security forces alleged to be acting on behalf of a company and the plaintiffs seeking to attribute the harms that occurred to the company itself. In this particular case, the facts are that Ken WeWa was an activist who was outspoken in opposition on environmental issues in connection with Shell's operations, and the government arrested him, and he was charged and tried in a very summary manner and executed. And his son and others have brought an alien tort case in New York based on the government of Nigeria's conduct, looking to claim that Shell is liable under aiding and abetting and other types of secondary theories.
Mm-hmm. Now, the Alien Torts Act, as I mentioned, that was passed more than 200 years ago. So are cases like these that we have been seeing in the last 10 or 15 years, they've popped up from time to time, is this really a viable interpretation of how that law should be used or how people intended it to be used? And are we going to see more litigation like this against companies in the future?
Well, in terms of The pattern and the trends that we've been seeing, as well as the intent of the law. Over the last 15 years, we've just seen an explosion in these kinds of cases. There have been about 125 alien tort cases that have been filed against multinational companies, and the overwhelming majority, 80% or so, have been filed in the last 15 or so years. They've targeted a wide variety of industries, from the extractive sectors to the financial industry to media companies to chemical companies, and they've tended to pursue theories based on the most serious violations of international law. Now, in terms of the trend, we are seeing a dramatic uptick in cases that are premised on the Alien Tort Claims Act, and the Shell trial, should it actually go, would be the fourth corporate alien tort trial that we would have seen in the last roughly 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of, you know, the basis and what it was intended to do, it was the law was put on the books as part of the nation's first Judiciary Act, and it was there for a fledgling democracy to help reassure the world that attacks against ambassadors and pirates and other types of international law violations, a very discreet set, would be subject to jurisdiction within U.S. courts. In 2004, the Supreme Court had occasion to review the scope of the act, and it did conclude that it still applies to a very discreet set of the most serious violations of international law, and certainly suggested that cases of this sort, of the shell sort, and that is cases involving extreme human rights violations that are violations of customary international law, laws that are specifically defined and universally condemned, these would be fair game in U.S. courts. And so you would separate this from an ordinary, let's say, personal injury case and elevate it to a level where you have extremely serious allegations of human rights violations against individuals or entities. And it's that set of cases that the Supreme Court certainly suggested would be appropriate to be litigated under the statute.
Okay. Now, for many of our readers, they're compliance officers or they're ethics officers of some kind. I'm trying to get a sense of what their role here is. Typically, it's easy enough for them to say, we should crack down on bribery, we should crack down on sexual harassment or something like this. But for what is their role in trying to prevent the sorts of abuses that might lead to a case of over one of the alien tort claims?
Sure.
I mean, it seems like it's a little bit more difficult to try and police against potential government abuses that your company may or may not be aware of or be in cahoots with or whatever, but what is their role in this sort of scenario?
It's a very important role, and whereas with some of the other international compliance regimes that they might be focusing on, where there is a frequent threat, here it's a little bit less frequent, but it's just the underlying threat is tremendously grave. The potential litigation exposure in these cases is in the tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars. The legal fees are also dramatically high. And, of course, the reputational harm to a company of being accused of complicity in human rights violations is the kind of stain, the kind of taint that just gets it gets played out over and over and over again in the press and can ultimately drive away investors and damage your reputation. And so with stakes that grave, the compliance function becomes particularly important. And we advocate including alien tort or other human rights compliance efforts as part of a larger compliance program. And that would include training of potential tensions and threats, doing risk assessments and human rights risk assessments of operations. It would include closely reviewing and scrutinizing contracts and relationships with third parties, since so many of these cases do create risks based on vicarious liability, and perhaps most important within that are looking very closely at relationships with government entities that act on a company's behalf, seeking to minimize those relationships where you can, but where you are forced to rely on a government entity, entering into appropriate memoranda of understanding, appropriate agreements where you can to state your expectations as to certain conduct, and particularly where support is being provided. And then finally, from the compliance standpoint, included within all of that would be an investigative arm. If there is something that you see come up, whether it's through an annual certification process or through a training process or through a hotline that you think may fall into this category of a human rights problem, part of the focus should be looking into investigating and conducting appropriate remediation where possible. And so between the training, between the third-party relationships, between the investigations. We think that and strongly advocate that this be part of the compliance program for any multinational company that does operate in an area where human rights abuses are a possibility based on their conduct or the conduct of third parties.
All right. Well, Jonathan, that is all the time we have now, but you gave us plenty of information here to think about, and I really appreciate your time here.
My pleasure.
And again, everyone, that was Jonathan Drimmer of the law firm Steptoe & Johnson. He was talking with us about applying the Alien Torts Claims Act against corporation, as we may well see happen in New York very shortly. I'm Matt Kelly, editor of Compliance Week. Thank you all for listening, and I hope you'll join us again next time.